Morning. Happy New Year, everybody. Sphere of faith. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. This is Hebrews 11, by the way. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive things promised. They only saw them, welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's etiquette. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as a greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned.
There you go. That's good. Perfect. We'll stop there because that's where we had left. That was good.
What's that?
You said you got to have faith.
God, have faith, the faith, the faith. Yeah. Maybe we ought to change the words to that song, huh? Let the band do that one. All right, excellent. Isn't it interesting? Who wrote Hebrews?
We don't know. We don't really know. We think it was Paul, but does it matter? See, this is why it drives me crazy, because people turn around and say, well, you know, the Bible is just written by men, just all compiled, so it doesn't really mean anything. If you read in between, and I'm going to give you Hebrews 11 to read this week, to really, really study it and go through it, you learn a lot of stuff there. It's like, it doesn't say that they hid Moses 3 months in advance because they recognized that he, I mean, we knew that they hid him, but that whole three-month thing wasn't there. You know, there's other little parts in the story of all these that are added. So that's the Holy Spirit. As he writes the word, he's adding more information. So we can see these things and add to it and build on it. You get in trouble when you start taking things out of context, or you don't let Scripture interpret Scripture. And that's why when somebody says to me, well, you know, the Bible, it's just a book written by men, I like to smile and then say, you never read it, did you? Yeah, just remember that one, because they generally didn't. They just like to say things. So, all right, good. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Kids, you got missed at all. As a matter of fact, I knew so young, I started preaching when I was like 12. And everybody would say, you're going to make such a great preacher someday. And I went, no. Because I had seen all that my dad had gone through, and I watched it, and I lived the pain with him, and I said, this is never going to be me. Well, never say never to God. That's the short of it. We'll talk about that in a minute. But the interesting thing is that it's the pains in life, the difficulties in life, the hardships in life, the things that we go through that make difficult more difficult. And I'm convinced on the eve of 2021, as we're just getting started on this thing, that we're about to see some stuff. Take my word for it. I'm not being prophetic. I'm not trying to be prophetic. Prophecy is something that was done in the Old Testament. We have the Word of God. It's been finished. It's written down. We're not going to get any new information. But we do know what it says about the end, and it says we're heading for a collision. There's some tough things that are going to be coming down the pike. Why? Because God just decided, well, I think today I'm going to visit this plague on people. No. As I talked about last week, when God comes into our lives, he says, here I am, take mine, let's have an exchange, which I've told you over and over, I think it's the dumbest idea in the world. I don't understand why God would do that, because he's getting the short end of the deal. He's going to take my life in exchange for his. Everything I have in exchange for everything that he has. Dumb. But he does it. I will never know why. I don't understand why. He'll never explain why. It's just the deal he has. So once I come into that and I say, okay, here we are. That's what we're going to do. Once I change that and I accept him into my life, I'm now saved. He is my Savior. You got that? He is my Savior. If I receive Jesus Christ, my personal Lord and Savior, and I'm driving down the road, and I'm going through a light that turns yellow after somebody had just cut me off, and I had screamed a really nasty word at them for being rude, just trying to educate them. I've committed the sin of what?
Murder.
Murder. Yeah. I'm so angry, I don't see the light change. I go through the red light, here comes a semi, bam, and I'm dead. Where am I going? Why? Because I'm born again, redeemed, justified, sanctified, washed in the blood of the Lamb. It's not about me asking for forgiveness. I've already been forgiven 2,000 years ago. If it's up to me to ask forgiveness before I get it, I'm a dead man, because I can't even know what all the things that I've done that are wrong, you know? Because I'm always justifying. Well, no. You are always justifying yourself. Me, I'm faithful, I'm honest, I'm true. You see, when I commit a sin, I already know it's a sin. And I say, Lord, I'm going to do this. Thank you for giving me in advance. So you all sit back and make excuses like, but I didn't know, Lord. Look at this. Wisconsin's putting on his jacket. Look at that. Okay. Isn't that interesting? But God brings, when we have him in our lives, as long as we are working and advancing with him, We are walking with Him. We are living with Him. And we are progressively making Him our Lord, not just our Savior. We know that we're headed for some trouble. You do understand that. Because what has to happen is that God is going to be in the process of teaching us how to grow in Him. You know, when you have little kids, babies are nice. I'm not a baby guy. Give them to me when they're a little bit older. I had the pleasure this week, Dan, of going down there with my grandson. Finally got my grandson, got to take him shooting. Man, what a fun job that was. Oh, and by the way, it was embarrassing because both my sons outshot me. But then again, my job is supposed to have better sons than me, right? So it's worked. It's okay. But it's really kind of cool. You want them to be better than you in advance. I got a sneeze in my nose. This week, my wife started off the subject. Every time I would go to sneeze, she would go, ha! Like that. And steal it from me. So, you know, that has nothing to do with anything. When God is trying to teach you to trust Him, He doesn't deliberately send you trouble. He tells you His word. You have the opportunity to receive that and work on that. Just like trying to teach a child how to walk. You help them along, but at some point you have to let them go and to see if they're going to make it. Now, when they fall, luckily when they're little, they have a lot of extra padding and they bounce well, you know. But they generally cry a little bit. But all of life is like that. As we're growing and we're learning new things, we fall, we bump, we get hurt, and we cry a little bit. Well, growing in faith is just exactly the same thing. When we choose to listen to God and we say, okay, Lord, I will do what you say, we get moving down the road, then all of a sudden something draws us back into our old way, into our old life, or into something that we desire in our flesh, and God just steps back. Right? He doesn't have to do anything. His absence brings a void which is filled by whatever that is that I'm wanting, right? How many here struggle with something in your life or more than one thing in your life on a daily basis? See, I told you all are liars. Look at you, every one of you. Lie, lie, lie. You're going to go to hell for 2 minutes. Look, we all have stuff. We all have stuff, every one of us. And you know when I'm going to stop having stuff? When I'm dead. Now, there are some people who take that faith and kind of thing and move into the realm of, well, it doesn't matter what I do. It's who I know, which is the basis of faith. But when you use that as an excuse, when he's trying to get you to be responsible, it's like, well, you know, it's just the way I am. The old Popeye clause, I am what I am. When God turns around and says, but you don't have to stay as you am, right? Yeah. We want you to grow. We want you to step up to the plate. So we're seeing in 2021, because I've gotten some basic news, though I don't watch it. I avoid it like the plague. I don't go online. I get one email that gives me the highlights of just the headlines, as I've told you in the past. And I don't like what I saw this last week. Up in New England, in your state, I believe it was, they just voted to have abortion again, put it back into play, even as young as 16 years old, without parents' knowledge. Even all the way up to the birth of the child. I mean, come on, man. I mean, that's not happening in my world. I'm not voting for that. And there's a host of things that the world is just seeming to chase after, like, we want our freedom to do what we want, when we want, how we want. Oh, and by the way, we want you to pay for it. Right? That's why we end up having our Wisconsinites down here. I mean, they're anticipating there could be some problems up there. The world's nuts because left to itself, they're going to chase after their own desires. So when God is trying to teach us something, He is going to let us go, and we may fall. And we may fall many, many times before we finally get it. But make this a certainty. When you fall, you will be given an opportunity to get back up every time. But once you start going again, you will fall again. You got that? It's a cyclical thing. As we read in here, this Hebrews 11:1 has always brought me a lot of consideration and thought, and I don't know that I'll ever have it down before I die. But I love this verse because it just supplies so much meat to think about. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. I've asked you folks to explain that to me many, many times. The King James, as I learned it when I was a kid, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things, what? Not seen. And this week I started getting a little bit more coming to me. I'm saying, Lord, I just don't get this. I don't get this. You don't see faith, do you? You don't see faith. It's something that is completely invisible. It's something that you don't put a measuring stick on, though it is measurable. And so I got to thinking about this works thing and what we do as God is trying to grow us up and how we move on. And I got to thinking that maybe it's possible that the works that he's talking about are also invisible. Does that make sense to you? Maybe he's not looking for things. In other words, if I feel led to write a $1,000 check somewhere, the evidence of my faith is that $1,000 check to the person that sees it. But in reality, that could also be a problem because that could be done in pride and arrogance, even though it was done in faith. So is the faith the check? The works the check? Or is the works the process that I went through that's invisible to say, yes, Lord, I will answer you and do what you say? So I want you to think about that with me because we're going to talk about that. I have a feeling that God is more concerned about measuring the invisible because he uses that word too many times in Hebrews 11. How many of y'all been ever into a situation where you've hit the wall and you absolutely positively have to trust and have faith? And you remember a time where that happened to you. I'm having faith, Lord. I don't see it. How many have had more than one? How many have more than 1,000? You know, I'm going to just be honest with you. I'm just going to share a little bit about my life, not because of any other reason. And like I told you, I just felt like the Lord wanted me to kind of share. I'm not standing up here because I'm a magnificent person. Deep inside, my wife can't stand me sometimes. She still wants to get a separate car so that she can drive and meet me where we're going because I commit murder on US 41 daily. Shame on me. Yeah, well, that doesn't hurt, sister.
Pray for me.
What's that?
I said pray for me, BJ.
Yeah, pray for me. I remember as I was growing up and I felt the call, I knew the Lord was calling me even when I was little, and I just ran and said, no, 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 no. I'll never forget, I met my wife up here at this holiday inn you used to be there, and like I've told you all, 2.5 days after I met her, I asked her to marry me. That was 43 years ago. We didn't know anything. We both didn't have any college education. We didn't really have any serious jobs to afford anything, but we were going to do it. We just knew the Lord put us together. We wanted to be together, and that was enough. Oh, by the way, I don't recommend it, Max. You know, people tried to say to me, don't do it. It's not going to go well. It's going to be so hard. Yeah, they were right. I learned everything the hard way. How many ever learned everything the hard way? Yes, amen. PhDs in the hard way. That's it. That's why it drives me crazy when people are out there claiming equality. I watched the Ohio State game the other day. Equality on the back of the helmet. It's like, what are you saying? Just explain that to me. I don't understand what you mean. Because I could say the same thing to you. I think because I am a human being, I should have the right to be the quarterback for Ohio State just because I want to be. Right? Let all things be all equal, right? I'm identifying as a quarterback for Ohio State. Right, exactly. It's a crazy world out there with that stinking thinking. What I'm saying to you is as we go through life, there are opportunities when God kind of says, I'm going to show you, I'm going to separate you from the pack, and I'm going to show you some things. I'm going to use you in ways that you don't know anything about. Before Moses was called out to go and help the people of Israel to get out of Egypt after being over 400 years in slavery, he had been in Egypt for 40 years. He hightailed it out of there with a murderous note on his head with a wanted dead or alive on him for another 40 years. It wasn't until he was 80 years old before God called him to do what he asked him to do. That's a hard life if you're Moses. How many have ever lived in there? I have. When I said no to God, it was like, I knew, you know, I could sense there was a big smile on his face because he likes to play with toys like that. Really? Oh, I used to say that God would, when he wanted to get a laugh, he would turn to the Casey channel. Because I was always going to show him. I said no. No, no, no. I mean, no. Go ahead, try. You're not going to make me. And so he just kind of played a little, like a little cat with a ball of yarn. He would hit and poof and back away. Finally, one day I told him, look, I've told you no, no, no. Leave me alone! I'll see you in heaven because you got to let me in. And he did. For 2 years. My prayers didn't get above the ceiling. Well, after 2 years, you knew what was going on then, right? I was begging him, anything, Lord, anything. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. Making all kinds of promises. I had no idea what he was going to do then. I'd had a factory job. My wife got pregnant, had a miscarriage. Destroyed. Destroyed her especially. I still to this day don't understand. She had three miscarriages. Miscarriage baby, miscarriage baby, miscarriages baby. And then there was Calla. I had a baby. Apple of our eye. Things are going well. And then I lose my job. What's that all about, God? A whole series of processes. Well, what are we going to do? Because in the early 80s, the bottom dropped out. There wasn't a job to be had. I couldn't find a job. I couldn't pay for a job. It was tough. What am I going to do now? Nothing. I had no answer from God. I had no answer whatsoever. I tried everything I could do. Nothing was working. I prayed. Begging. Finally, all of a sudden, I got the idea, well, maybe I'll just switch careers because this labor stuff isn't really working very well. So then I got into sales, which just magically opened because why would you hire somebody who knows nothing about computers to sell computers? I knew nothing, never touched one. But I must have sold well. I sold the guy on hiring me. Next thing you know, I'm a salesman. And that went well, and God taught me that he was going to be my provider over the years. I'll never forget the time after being a salesman for like 10 years, because a salesman flies and dies 12 times a year, you know? Every month when you have to start over, you die. No matter how your month was the month before, if you're a commissioned salesperson, you start at zero again, you know? And so after doing this for so long, I was like, oh Lord. Finally, God said to me, kind of like in the, I could hear him like a stern dad, and he had my dad's voice, which was a strange thing, but he says like, hey, look, you've been at this for how many years now? I said like 10. Have I ever had you miss a bill? No. Have you ever gone without? No. Well, then you stop with hysterics. We'll just let it go. Finally, I said, okay, and I learned that way. Next thing I know, I have a baby, another baby on the way, the second one's on the way, but I lost my job. This is before the computer thing. I lost my job. I had no insurance. I had gone around and I'd knocked on the doors. Hey, do you have anything I can do? Because I started my own repair business. I remember one week passing out 400 business cards. Got anything for me to do? I'll paint, whatever. Finally, some lady said yes. She had a nice house. She worked. I worked. Her husband, I didn't know what he did. But she had all these little jobs. She took a liking to me. She had all these jobs when she found out I had a baby and another one on the way. And one day we were sitting there talking. She made me a sandwich. She said, you know my husband? He's an obstetrician. I'm sure he'd deliver your baby for free. Yeah, for free. Colt has his middle name. He delivered my second one, Corey, for free. I mean, well, not free. They made up some stupid job that took like 2 hours. If you do this, I'll deliver your baby for free. But God was there. It was there. He was there. He was there every step of the way. Finally, I'm entertaining after I'm hearing God say, come on, are you going to do it? I finally said yes. And so I got involved in a church, and next thing I still got that sneeze there. I'm not gonna sneeze on you, I promise. But I finally says, okay, I'll give this a go. And I hooked up with the church, and they started having me preach around when pastors would take vacations, and they liked what I did. Long and short of it, it took a little bit of time, but I saw that I wasn't going anywhere, so I quit. Things didn't go well then either, after I quit. Another year later, another pastor comes to that church, so I go to give him a try. I did the very thing that I tell people don't do. You know, they come and they try and they hear something they don't like and they leave. When the new pastor came, he called me to the side after a while and he said, I think you should be in the ministry. Miracle. Duh. I tried, it didn't work. But I know people, he said. Next thing I know, I'm in the ministry in Southern Ohio. Two little churches, two opposite ends of the cornfield. I have three kids. While I'm there preaching, she gets pregnant again with our fourth. It was beautiful. It was a wonderful time. I enjoyed it. I'd finally like, okay, Lord, I finally landed. You know, I thought, okay, here I am. I'm content. I'm happy. I'm joyful. The people were glad I was there. Churches were growing. Things were happening. All right. 1 year later, some people who didn't like the people who got me in said, let's get rid of this guy. We don't like the fella. And so just like that. You heard my wife, you band people, Carnington. Brand new baby, just born. We're now told you got 30 days to get out of here. Oh, and we're not paying for the moving van or anything else. As I'm packing up the moving van with nobody's help, I get a phone call from one of the guys who was on the committee to get rid of me, and he's bawling on the phone. Would you please forgive me? It was a setup. I was like, no, really? Hung up the phone and we left and we came right here. That was a long time ago. But every step of the way, God has moved us and he had something for us. And as we came here, there was an opportunity. My dad knew somebody who had a house that they were renting and the lady had died. And so now the family wanted to unload it. And so we bought it for $25,000. And we're talking a piece of garbage. This thing was condemnable. It was the second condemnable house I owned. Thank you, Jesus. We bought it. We fixed it up. And after 2 years, we ended up buying the house. Thank you, Jesus, again, for where we live right now. We decided we're going to rent it out. Why not? Didn't cost that much. Let's just rent it. And I learned the hard way not to do that. Yeah, anybody wants to go into rental business, talk to me first. Lord, what's going on? We end up buying this house on where these folks are staying right now. We end up buying this house because my wife, our house that we had paid $90,000 for was now rated and appraised at $430,000. My lovely wife said she wanted to live on the water. I couldn't find anything for less than 600 grand. But I have a whole lot of money and equity once I sell my house, right? So I looked and I looked and I found this place for $350. So I bought it almost sight unseen. I mortgaged everything I had to buy that property. And then the housing market went. It wasn't even worth $100. Even my own house. For 12 years, we both worked, me in sales, my wife doing her job, for 12 years. Saying, Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? Are you paying attention up there? 20 years ago, my dad asked me if I would take this position as an associate pastor, and I was like, oh man, I said I would never do this again. But I always knew, deep down, I reluctantly said, yeah, okay. Less than a year, he was dead. Now I have two jobs, two houses, three houses, actually. And I'm like running. What are you doing, God? What are you doing, God? What are you doing, God? Let me just run ahead and tell you this. As I've said over and over and over, I'm only telling you this because I have nothing in my life worth anything that has come to me except that Jesus Christ has blessed me because I've done what he told me to do the hard way, learning that I wasn't doing it right. You hear me, Max? I say this to people all the time, young folks with kids. Do it the way God said it. He will bless you. And if you don't do it, he'll wait. He'll wait. And when you finally get it, he'll be there for you until the next thing. When the next thing comes along, he'll wait. And sure enough, as somebody told me, if you don't learn the lesson, you'll just go around on a merry-go-round until you get it. He doesn't mind. You're going to learn it one way or the other. Nowadays, I can look back on my life after 65 years and I can say, I've been blessed beyond measure. This guy who was a no, 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 who finally became a yes, 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 yes guy, has learned when I stepped out of what God asked me to do, has learned when the void got filled by my own desires instead of his desires. I learned the hard way that when I yielded to him, his blessings were true, that he was faithful all the time. His faithfulness is great. Amen. Do you get that? Isn't that awesome? Amen. There is nothing that scares me. Because I've been through it so many times. And I'm learning as I get older that, you know what? This is fun. The things that I do, I don't do to get seen. I'm not doing things in order to get points. I do them because they're fun, because I love Jesus Christ. You understand that? I love Jesus. Pure and simple. He loved me first. What he has done on my behalf, I could never make up for. I don't get any credit for anything in my life whatsoever except being stupid and stubbing my toes and falling down, hurting myself and crying and whining until I finally say, okay, Dad. How are you doing? Are you hitting the wall where faith is going to be required of you? That God is saying, just trust me. I'm talking about invisible faith. I'm saying, just trust me. Can you not get upset? Can you not get worried? Can you not be scared? Can you just say, whatever, and mean it? Because I'm here for you. Just like I told you I'd be all those other times, over and over and over again. Have I ever failed you? No. Faith is a substance. It is a real thing. My grandkids came over, they made that gack stuff or whatever, you know. If you squeeze it, it becomes a hard ball. If you go like this, it pours out like goo, you know. That kind of thing. God is saying, look, it's a hard substance, yet it's fluid. It is a substance that's measurable, but not with anything you see in your eyes. Your faith means something to me. and it is what I'm going to bless you with when you trust me. Faith is the substance of things that I'm hoping for and the evidence before I get it of things that I don't even see. If you're not living by faith, you're missing the greatest gig on this earth. I'm telling you that right now. You are missing the greatest gig on earth because I don't have to worry about a thing. These guys last week, 1 week ago, it was about this time of day, we got this phone call and it was from you. My nephew hadn't even left the house yet. And somehow what was blocked got unblocked on the HomeAway site and they're wanting to know the address so they can move in that day. Long story, I'm not going to go into. But she had already had several missteps where people promised things that they couldn't deliver. And she's in tears on the phone, you know, and she's like, look, I don't know what we're going to do. We're down here from Wisconsin. We don't have a place to stay. And I said, I'm a Jesus guy. I'm a pastor. I said, look, we'll take care of it. I promise you, I will pull my posse together. And it might not be the greatest, but you will have a place to sleep tonight. And he did. When I got there, I said, God really likes you. Because he had to unblock a blocked site and get me to work my tail off after a Sunday to clean until 7 o'clock at night. I wondered why when it got unblocked, I wondered why it wasn't renting again. And then they told me, well, could we stay a few extra days because we don't like what's going on up there? Do I have to explain that?
God blesses us.
Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. I love Jesus. And if you ain't walking with him, you're not living a fun, adventurous life. If you ain't tested and tried him to see if he'll come through for you, that's silly. I met Jan this week. Dr. Carol told me, you need to go over and see my friend Jan. She has some of my trash. I need you to take it out of her house. So I did. And I got to talking. I said, Jan, how you doing, gal? She said, I miss church. They closed it in our park. I said, I can get you to church. So I called Jimmy. Jimmy, why, we'd have got you here. I mean, you don't want to get here when I get here. It's too early. But Jimmy said, sure, because Jimmy's a faith guy. And so she comes here today. Why? Because God opens doors. God works. Pray for her because she's going to be moving back to New York in 3 months. Well, she's 89 and she's getting around and her sons want her up near her. So, yeah, she has to. So pray for her. But until you leave, you can be right here, okay? Until you go home, you can be right here, all right? I'm living my life, as I've said to you so many times before, and I'll close with this. I want to live my life so when I get to heaven, David walks up to me and says, hey, I heard about you. Yeah. And that's how I'm doing it. It's the only way I know it. Because every other way I've tried failed. It doesn't work. So if you're not on a Jesus faith train, sorry for you. Get on it. It's fun. He loves us. He takes care of us. Let us pray. Father God, you are awesome. And so often people are out there trying to do things to be seen. They want their works to be on display so that everybody can see how great they are. Their name on the etched on the side of a building. And Lord, you don't want that. You don't expect that at all. You don't give accolades. You don't give pats on the back. You bless us with your presence when we do what we tell you, what you tell us. And then you go even further, which is really kind of crazy, and give us more work to do. Make us more responsible. There's people out there who need Jesus Christ and they're not getting him because a lot of these churches around the country have closed. We're not closed. We're standing on the corner. We're telling people about Jesus because that's what we're doing. We'd love to be able to do more, Lord, but we're listening and we're hearing and we're asking, what do you want from us? Because, Lord, we want to be faithful to you. After everything that you have done on our behalf, we want to bless you as well with what little lives we have. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your faithfulness. We love you and we praise you, and we cannot wait to give you the biggest hug ever when we get to heaven, because you deserve it. In Jesus' name.